when to do a Hafsek Tara, and we discussed the ideal times and the good enough times. The Taz in Sif Katan Aleph, as well as the Raman and Osikilim, deal with the question of what about Mairiv? This is not, generally speaking, so relevant for us, because we, generally speaking, don't have communal Mairivs that are early. Could happen in theory, so at a bungalow colony or something like that for early Shabbos, where the whole community does daven early, maybe at camps, other things like that. So it could happen, not so common. And so the Rishonim discussed this question, you know, do we say that since the community accept daven Maariv, that's an acceptance of night, or accepting Shabbos, it makes it as though it's night, and you can't do a Hafsektah anymore. Do we say no? That since Lamais, it's still light outside, you could do a Hafsektah. And this is a debate, as you saw. So the Marshal, quoted by the Taz, says the following, that since nowadays we don't begin to do Shiva Nakim until the sixth day, we have 5 days before we do the Hafsektah, as we'll see in Sif Yud Aleph. So certainly they can... Now the lashon is pshita shi'chol limnos afilu achar tefilas arvis. Now the question is, what does that mean? Sounds like he's saying that, let's say she did her hafsek tara after ma'ariv, it's okay. Why? Because nowadays anyway we wait 5 days before starting the shivat akiyam. Now if that's what it means, then it doesn't make any sense, because what difference does it make that nowadays we wait 5 days? Why should that be a reason why you would be able to do your Hafsek Tara after Mairiv? So that is the question that the Dagomir Vava asks. He thinks it doesn't make any sense what the Taz is saying. Now, Luchora, what the Taz really means, and this is what the Sidrei Tara writes, is the following. She could count towards her 5 days after Mairiv. What does that mean? A woman begins menstruating after Mairiv while it's still light, before sunset. So that Re'iyah will count as day one, and the fact that the community has accepted it as night. Here, L'kule Alma, we would agree that that would count as day one. She starts bleeding 1 minute before Shkia, let's say. So that's no problem. That will be day one. The next day will be day two, etc. And that's true for sure. Now, why would that be different? Why would we be more makil in this case than in the case of the Hafsek Tara? In other words, what the Taz and the Rashal saying is, even if you're machmir about the Hafsek Tara here, you could be makel. So there are two reasons. Number one is
I don't have the case clear.
The Kal Davins Ma'ariv at 7 o'clock, okay? Shkia is at 7:45. She has a Re'iyah at 7:30. So that will be day one. Let's say today is Monday. Day one is Monday. Day two is Tuesday. Day three is Wednesday. Day four is Thursday, day five is Friday. She could do a Hafsek Tara on Friday and start a Shiva Nakim on Shabbos, right?
Okay, so right
with that, this is what the Marshal means. That's what we're saying.
Okay, we'll
get to the other explanation in a second. But this is... what difference does it make that we start 5 days before? She goes ahead, she does her Hafsek Tara after Ma'ariv. If you think in general that after Ma'ariv has a din of night, right? And therefore you can't do Hafsek Tara, then what difference does it make if this is the fifth day, or the fourth day, or the third day, or the first day? Lamina?
It's 12 days in the Kiyos, as opposed to 7, meaning...
What do you mean? There's no 12 days in the Kiyos.
You can't start counting the Shem Mekim, the Chumrah, even if she's not...
What difference... What's the reason why you can't... If today is night, right? If after 7:30 is night, because they daven Marv at 7 o'clock. So 7:30 is night. So what difference does it make that this is the fifth day since I started my Riyah? Lamaisa, my Hafsek Tara was after nightfall. And if the Hafsek Tara is after nightfall, then Mimela, it's invalid, right?
Wait.
Right?
If it's on the fifth night, but I guess maybe...
It makes no difference if it's the fifth night, or the fourth night, or the third night, or the second night. It doesn't matter. If a Hafsek Tara is done, it could be the 20th night. A woman goes ahead, and she starts menstruating. And she doesn't bother doing Hafsek Tara for 20 days. And after 20 days, she decides to do her Hafsek Tara after nightfall. It's invalid, right? Doesn't matter. The Maisa, you can't do it. You can't.
Yes, maybe she did one before or something.
She didn't. That's what he says. He says,
right?
So that's why the I guess the most simple reading of the Taz makes no sense, right? Which is the Dag HaMer v'Avos Kasha. But what the Marshal actually says, and what the Taz probably means, and this is what the Sidrei Torah points out, is something that does make a lot of sense, which is a different point. She starts menstruating after Ma'ariv, but before nightfall. Then we'll count that as day one towards the 5 days. Now, why does that make sense? Two reasons. Number one is that the whole din of 5 days is a gigantic chumras, we'll see. So to be mekel and follow the opinions that night only begins with night, and astronomical night, and not Kabbalah Sakahal, makes sense, because to adopt a lenient opinion on a gigantic chumrah makes a lot of sense. Number two is that if you look at the Trumas HaDeshen himself inside, which is the source for this whole idea, the Trumas HaDeshen thinks that the only time the Kabbalah of the Kahal will give it the din of Laila is with respect to things that are Bidei Adam. And he says explicitly, it's not true with respect to things that are Bidei Shemayim. Now, the beginning of menstruation is not Bidei Adam, it's Bidei Shemayim. So it makes sense then that we would follow astronomical night or day, and as opposed to, again, the Hafsek Tara, which is something that's Bidei Adam. So that's what the Marshal means. Yes? Good. Okay. Another funny thing comes up in Shach Sifkat and Dalet. Shach Sifkat and Dalet is discussing this issue as well, and Hilchos Avelos, so we talked about the tshuva of his father and how it relates to Avelos and the like, so we'll leave that out, though it's an interesting, important discussion. But we'll just discuss what he says at the very end of that shach, which is extremely perplexing. He quotes an agur, and he writes that, according to the agur, Kishayom gadol kol kach chashvinan yom v'layla shavim. Ukemo shekasavti liel simen kuf pe dalet aval basar hachi lekule al malo. So what does that mean? So over there in kuf pe dalet, he quotes the opinion of the Avi Asaf that vestos are tolui in 12 hours, as opposed to shausmanios, right? Meaning to say that we will follow when it comes to dine vestos, regular hours, not shausmanios. Now, that is a very big chiddush over there, which we don't accept. But at least the chiddush in the realm of Vestos makes sense. Because maybe you would say that Vestos, which is, you know, the biological patterns, would follow natural hours, not halachic hours. So we would look at 12-hour days. But when it comes to this halacha, why would you say that, right? In other words, what is the Shach saying? Let's give an example. The Shach saying like this. Let's say Chatzos is 1 o'clock, and she didn't do a Hafsek Tara till after 7 o'clock, right? But Shkia is not till 8 o'clock. So the Shach seems to be saying that 7 o'clock is nightfall, for at least in conjunction with Ma'ariv. In conjunction with Ma'ariv, 7 o'clock is nightfall, and therefore, even if generally speaking you were Mekel for Ma'ariv, you would allow Hefsek Tara after Ma'ariv. But here, where it's both after Ma'ariv plus 6 hours after Chatzos, 6 hours of 60 minutes after Chatzos, then you couldn't do it. And here too, the Dag HaMer v'Avos says that this is very perplexing. What does Avi Asaf have anything to do, you know, again, by Vestos, you could understand it. Your body doesn't respond to Shausmanios. But over here, where it comes to the definition of Laila, it's fascinating. Again, it sounds like from the Shach, he thinks that this is Laila l'chol davar. You know, I don't know what limits. You know, could you eat matzah? You know, I don't know. The hours, you know, probably that time of year anyway, it's about near the equinox, so it's not as exciting. But it sounds like he's saying that in that case, it would be Laila l'chol davar, which is a very fascinating idea. If you take a look at the Dag HaMer v'Avos, he explains the agur quoted by the Shach in a different way. The agur doesn't really mean to say what the Shach is saying, but it's a very fascinating idea in terms of defining night. Now, to turn to a more practical question, in fact, one of the most common shailas. When you're a rabbi and you hear this, you want to punch the person. I did a hefsek tara after shkia. What's the halacha? Obviously, not. I'm joking when I say. But so what is what's the halacha? So there are a number of opinions in the poskim about this question. According to some poskim, many poskim, it's nothing, zero. It's very sad, very unfortunate, but you'll have to wait another day to do your hefsek tara. A hefsek tara after shkia is invalid. This is the opinion of Rabbi Willig, among others, including, mentioned some that I saw, Rav Moshe Sternbach, Toras HaMishpat, Rav Nissim Karelitz in the Chut HaShani, Rav Al Yashev in Kobetz Tshuvos, as well as others. So, according to these poskim, after shkia is too late, and you'd have to wait another day. There are some poskim who say, no, you have a couple of minutes. Is a very vague term. 3 or 4 minutes, a couple of minutes. Whew, what does that mean exactly? Why a couple of minutes? Well, it's hard to know exactly when shkia is, and there are issues of elevation, there are other shilas, the sheet of the Balatanya, maybe a couple more minutes here, and maybe this, and maybe that, and all these fakos. So you have a couple of minutes. Okay, I don't know what that means exactly. Among others, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu is quoted in the Sefer Toras HaTahara, Chelek Beis Siman Yud Aleph, as saying this. But I guess it's not a, there's no clear-cut gader of this, but that's what they say. There are those who say she has 13 minutes after Shkia to be Mekel. What's that from? This is because there's a sfeik sfeika. What's a sfeik sfeika? Safek if we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, in which case it's still daytime. And imtin to lomar we don't, even if we paskin like the gra, so it's bein hashmashos. It's safek yom, safek laila. So maybe it's yom. So you have a sfeik sfeika until 13 minutes, which is when the gra's zman ends. You might be able to add on to that, you know, depending on the elevation and the latitude and the time of year. That's the opinion. Rav Avadia is willing to be relying on this b'shas hadchak gadol. There's actually some disagreement what Rav Avadia actually holds between the various, I'm quoting Rav Avadia, but in some places at least Rav Avadia is quoted as being mako that far. Now, why wouldn't you hold it? That's fake sveika. It sounds like a very lovely fake sveika. So Rabbi Willig thinks this fake sveika is wrong for two reasons. First of all, because Rabbi Willig thinks we don't paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. It's not, even though it's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, nimnu v'gamru. How could you, you know, since when do we do that to Rishonim? So the answer is that hachush makhish. Right? In other words, how are your miyashi Rabbeinu Tam? I don't know. Rabbi Willig likes a theory of a particular sefer that nobody really was ever following Rabbeinu Tam. They were just, because it was only with the when people started having clocks and standardized times and the like, that people realized that if you actually followed Rabbeinu Tam in terms of minutes, chosh makhish is wrong. So, you know, we wait till 72 minutes after Shkia, and it's already been pitch black for, to the extent that it ever gets black, for several minutes. So we don't accept. So that's one reason why I didn't like this sfeik sfeika. The second reason is because he thinks that you can't have a sfeik sfeika that would lead to a tarti desasri imsak. It's actually a Tosfos Anita on Daf Chavtes that says this idea. Now, where is this sfeik sfeika in terms of psak, tarti desasri in terms of psak? Because according to this, you're going to say that the first 13 minutes are going to be yom, based on a sfeik sfeika, and the last 13 minutes are going to be Lila, based off of a sfeik sfeika, and everything in the middle will be Safek. Well, the one time that isn't Bein HaShmashos L'chol Le'alma is that middle period of time. It's not Bein HaShmashos of the Gra, it's not Bein HaShmashos of Rabbeinu Tam. And that's the only time you're treating Bein HaShmashos. In other words, this type of sfeik sfeika leads to a conclusion in Psak that is clearly incorrect. it's a banish mashos, it's not a banish mashos of any shita. And therefore, he doesn't think that's a sveik sveika. Yes?
Don't call it banish mashos. Call it sveik yosvai vayla. It's a sveika divina, what it's saying is a
So, where is your banish mashos? There's no banish mashos anymore, because you're going to treat the first 13 minutes as yom. There's no banish mashos anymore. No, it's not banish mashos. It's fake sveika. You're treating it as yom.
I mean, the idea that since practically you lose out on right. mashos, therefore you can't
be knowing something. That, exactly. To paskin this fake sveika would lead to a halachic impossibility, which is no banish mashos, and... or a banish process that doesn't correspond to any shita.
I mean, I guess, I'm just wondering why that's so different from, like, nowadays, women are neither nidos nor zonos. We do this, like, weird thing that you're not either of them.
This is a klal and klal is fake sveika. Nowadays, it's not true. We treat women, we give her the chumra of nida and the chumra of zava.
Right.
I don't think it's...
We're machmer.
But no, we're trying to be more, we're applying a sveik sveika. To carry out the sveik sveika will lead to a logical conclusion. We're not machmer, we would be mekel. Rabbi, we're using the sveik sveika to be mekel.
Well,
yes?
Isn't shenecha that's just 2 ways of saying yom?
Maybe, as well. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, but possibly. Yes?
I'm not does Rabbi really call it that?
No, that's a little different because that's an issue. It's a totally different type of tati desasri, and it's not necessarily a tati desasri if you think that you could say both. No, but yeah. This is it's a worthwhile sugya to learn, but I think for now. We'll have to wait till we get back to Klal Sveik Sveika. I don't think we discussed this in the Klal Sveik Sveika here. So, the fourth opinion that we have is Rav Moshe's opinion that you have up until 9 minutes after Shkia. How does he come up with that? It's the same Sveik Sveika as the previous one, except it's Rav Moshe's version of Rabbeinu Tam. Without getting into too much detail, Rav Moshe also was bothered by the fact that the Chush Makhush against Rabbeinu Tam. So he said 72 minutes equals whenever it's dark. So in New York, that's 50 minutes, or in one place he says 40 minutes, so let's say 50 minutes. So if we transform 72 minutes into 50 minutes, then 13 minutes becomes 8 or 9 minutes. Moshe, as I said, sometimes says 50, sometimes says 40, sometimes says 8, sometimes says 9. But for the first 8 or 9 minutes after Shkia, then you would have this Sveik Sveika. And therefore he's willing to be Mekel. Rabbi Forst writes that even though Rav Moshe in a tshuva says you could be lenient, Lamaisa, he was not lenient unless circumstances required that one be lenient. Which I assume means that if it's a regular situation where waiting a day would not be the end of the world, then he would say, wait the extra day, and the like. There is some dispute about the Mishnah Berurah's opinion. We're not going to get into it so much. In Sefer Nidchei Yisrael, though, he writes that if a woman did a hafzik tara a couple minutes after Shkia, she should ask a chacham, because maybe there are a couple minutes of leeway. In the Mishnah Berurah himself, there's a number of somewhat conflicting implications. I saw in Rav Nemensal's notes on the Mishnah Berurah, he writes, I don't know what the Mishnah Berurah's opinion is on this topic. So that those are the different opinions. Yes? I would guess, but I don't know. Certainly anyone who's going to do Malacha after Shkia is definitely going to be Meiko. My impression is also that among Hasidic Poskim, there aren't that many hardcore, Rabbeinu Tam Lekulaniks anymore, except for Mincha, but not for, not for Malacha.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know.
It's
That's one of the reasons why Rav Adya is more noted to be Mekel here, he thinks anyway. Hasik Tara might be Darabanan, in which case you could say Safi Darabanan Lakul on its own, plus even if it's Daraisa, you have a Sfeik Sfeika and the like. So I would definitely not be surprised if Hasidish of Poskim are more Makel on this, but I don't know.
It's just a crazy additional Sakula.
Yeah.
She's doing a Bidika the next day. And yeah. We have to talk about the Bidika's income with Hasik Tara, but she's going to end up going to the mikvah on her seventh day, let's say the first Hasik Tara wasn't good.
Yeah.
And she doesn't experience any Re'iyah, then it's
and you're saying, yes, Sphere of Elila. Whew. We'll talk about Sphere of Elila soon. That's
okay, fine. I don't
think we would really be misdived that. Mm-hmm. Okay. What about Suffolk Ben Ashmashos? Okay, this is, I don't know, you know, I did the thing and then not sure. Maybe it was a minute or two before Ben Ashmash, before Shkia, a minute or two after Shkia. I'm not sure. So here, in addition to this fake fakas that we said after Shkia, you have an additional suffix, which is maybe it was before Shkia. Maybe it was before Shkia. And that's why Rav Avadia is certainly willing to be makel over here, especially like we said, because Hafsek Tara anyway might only be Derabbanan. And there might be a tzad you could be makel after Shkia. So Suffolk, before after Shkia, Rav Avadia is makel. However, we said he's makel even after Shkia, but there he's only makel, I think, v'shas et chagadol, after Shkia. But before Shkia, or Suffolk Shkia, even without such a shas et chag. Willig, though, does not like this. Why? He thinks it's sveik sveika mishem echad. What's a suffix? Maybe it's yom. Vimtim tzalomar tlachashkia, maybe it's yom. Right? This is a point that already the Magen Avraham writes. Basically, it's Rabbi Willig being choshish for the Magen Avraham. And therefore, that too is a problem. Now, we're not going to get... We'll talk about bedikos after shkia when we get to bedikos, but just point it out now so you don't get confused. There is more room for bedikos after shkia. Let's say... For example, she did her bedikah on the first day after Shkia. So then, Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Eliyashiv both agree you do have a valid Sfeik Sfeika, right? What's a Sfeik Sfeika? Maybe you don't, maybe it's Yom, maybe it's Laila. Bintim Salomar, it's Laila. Maybe you don't even need a bedikah Yom Rishon at all, right? In fact, most Rishonim hold that one bedikah during all of Shivanakim is enough. So if you had the bedikah of Yom Shvi'i, certainly, if you had it before Shkia. Wouldn't help if both the Bedikah of Yom Rishon and the Bedikah of Yom Shvi'i were after Shkia. But if you had the Bedikah of one or seven at the proper time, and the other one during Ben Ashmashos, so then there would be room for leniency. But okay, we'll talk more about the Bedikah of Shivanakim later. Okay. So Siv Beis. So Siv Beis, the Mechaber cites the Psak of the Ramban, that if someone wants to be mafsik b'yom rishon, she needs a moch dachok, right? And that's ma'akiv even b'diavad. Meaning, if you remember, the Rashba said, really he thinks that even b'yom rishon, you should be able to do a hafsik tar in the morning, and the Ramban said no, but a moch would work, and a number of the poskim said the Ramban would agree to that. So here we have an example, where moch would be mikradin, in other words, as opposed to the moch mentioned in Sif Aleph, which was a chumra, this is a moch that we require. Now, then the Ramah says something which is very, very perplexing. The Ramah writes that b'diavad it would work samach lebein ashmashos, even without a moch. Right? But b'diga shachris wouldn't work. So the problem with this is, whose opinion is this? If it's the Rashba's opinion, so Bedikah Shachris would work. If it's Ramban's opinion, then you need a moch, right? The Ramah made up a shita here. Obviously, the Ramah is assuming that everybody agrees min ha-mincha l'mala would work. Now, we know that that's true for Yehuda b'yom Shvi'i, but what does this have to do with us? So, the answer seems to be that that's what the Ramah is assuming. Well, if the justify it, we will in a second, but the Ramah is assuming that mincha l'mala or samach l'bein ashmashos works l'kulei alma. And this is basically an idea that we already saw in the Beis Yosef and the Gra in Sif Aleph, which is that when you do the bedika, min amincha lamalar, samach lebein ashmashos, that is good enough. In other words, just to put it a little differently, the Ramah's not Shitas Rebbe, right? Like the Rashba. No, it's that even the Chachamim agree that Mincha Lamala or Samach Lebein Hashmashos works on Yom Rishon, right? And let's put it a little differently, right? Remember, the Chachamim asked Rabbi Yehuda, you know, Ilu Ilmali Ada Bein Anea Kol Bein Hashmashos and Yafa Ata Omer. So what did Rabbi Yehuda say back? So we don't know. But Rabbi Yehuda held that Samach Lebein Hashmashos accomplishes that. I don't think Rabbi Yehuda says it's going to work in the morning, but I don't require Moch either. Samach Lemincha accomplishes that. For me, it's equivalent to Vayada Bein Enea Kol Bein Hashmashos, even though it's not Moch. And the Rabbanan, and the Ramah is basically accepting that, right? And he's accepting that Bedas the Chachamim, which is sort of interesting, because, you know, why were they so perplexed about Rabbi Yehuda saying this if they themselves hold that? But that seems to be what the Ramah is holding. Now, the Gra points out over here that this opinion of the Ramah is based off of Tosfos. So let's take a look. It's Tosfos and Samachasim based, Diba Maschel Amru. Now, over there, Tosfos is addressing a stira in Rabbi Yossi, right? Because Rabbi Yossi in one place says Bedika Shachris works, that's on Daf Samaches, but in Daf Nun Gimel, he says you need the Bedika Min HaMincha Lamala. So Tosfos' answer is that when did he say you need Min HaMincha Lamala? That's Rasa Ba'oso Yom, and since Ba'oso Yom Hochsak Mayana Pasuach, so therefore you need Min HaMincha Lamala. But if Lo Rasa Ba'oso Yom, so then even in the morning would work. We mentioned this Tosfos before. Now, why is that relevant for us? So Tosfos, you hear, is saying that min ha-mincha lamala works mi'ikar adin. Now, then Tosfos actually asked this question, right? Tosfos asked the question, well, one second. If there's a logic to min ha-mincha lamala working, that somehow or another, since it's samach lamincha, it's going to be machsa kol yom betahara, and it's going to be equivalent to moch, right? So, if that's true, so why did the Chachamim have Tainus and Rabbi Yehuda if that same question could be asked on themselves? That was the question that we asked in the Ramah, and Tosfos himself asked that question on himself. So, what is Tosfos' answer? Tosfos' answer is, V'yesh lomar, d'lenavshe lo kasha, d'kevan d'hochzaka roa shachris, din hu l'hatzricha hafrasha min ha-mincha l'mala, b'lo chumra, ela min ha-din. Very interesting svari, saying, Lididi, it makes sense to require min ha-mincha lamala. Why? Because this is not a chumra, this is mikar adin. Since rasa oso yom, so hochzak mayana pasuach oso yom, and therefore it should not be good enough to do a hefsek tara until very close to evening. So that is not just a chumra, it's mikar adin. But you, Rabbi Yehuda, who are machmir even when lo rasa oso yom, you're so machmir. If you should be that machmir, you should be more machmir. So you should even require yada beinina. So if that's true, now whatever that answer means, it's not so easy to understand why, if once it's a chumra, you can't have a mid-level chumra. Once you're choshesh for something, you have to be choshesh all the way. He's saying, if you're choshesh for chumra v'choka, so you should go all the way. I'm not a chumra, I'm mikar adin. So anyway, but once Tosfos is true, Tosfos' answer is true, so that would explain the psak of the Ramah, and that's what the Gra says, that the basis of the Ramah is this Tosfos. Now, it is not the case, as we pointed out last time, that the Ramah is actually passing like Tosfos, because the Ramah writes that anything besides the first day, even if Rasa Oso Yom, the Bedikah Shachris would work. We saw that in Sif Aleph, right? Mikra Din, if on day two she saw Dam that day and she did a Bedikah Shachris, it would work. And that's because he does, he's not Choshish for Tosis. He follows the view of the Rashba and the Ramban and the Rambam and the like. But that logic of Tosfos, namely that a Bedikah Samach Lemincha works Mikra Hadin in a case where Cheskas Mayana Pasuach, so that Svara he accepts from Tosfos. And that is the basis of the Ramah. Now it's still, you know, pretty weird that the Ramah is paskening something that is not the psak of a single Rishon, right? And it doesn't, it's not explained in Darkei Moshe. He didn't say that at all. There's no Rishon that I could find that said this. It's sort of combining Tosfos with the Ramban to come up with his own idea. Maybe he'll say, yeah, the Ramah is like this. You know, he doesn't want to be somech on the Rashba alone, that Bedikah Shachris Yom Rishon would work. But if you throw in Shitos Tosfos, then that's enough. And it's a pshara of different Shitos. That seems to be what the Ramah is saying. But it is very interesting, because it doesn't accord with a single Rishon. Now, even though the Gra explains beautifully what the Ramah held, the Gra himself doesn't think we should paskin this way, because it is against so many of the Rishonim, and the only Rishon that would, you know, certainly allow it is the Rashba. So the Gra, the Sidrei Tara, the Chavostas, the Chachmas Adam all said that we should paskin like the Mechaber here, and they said that you need a Moch Dachuk Me'ikar Hadin for Yom Rishon. Now, not every other poskim do accept the Ramah. The Lechem, the Simla, thinks many Rishonim would agree to the Ramah. Why? Either because they hold to the Rashba. He thinks, right, remember the Rashba holds that Hefsek Tara works even Yom Rishon in the morning. He thinks that basically all the Rishonim agree to the Rashba except for the Ramban. He argues against the Beis Yosef that the Rambam would agree to the Rashba, not like the Magid Mishnah. And what he writes in Perek Vav is a Chumra by Taros. He has a whole different explanation of the Rambam. So he says, look, you know, there are many Rishonim besides the Rashba that explicitly say like the Rashba, and nobody actually disagrees with the Rashba explicitly except for the Ramban. So to be Somech on the Ramah, which is a Chumra on top of the Rashba, for sure makes sense. And he also argues that he has a bunch of basically Chachmei Ashkenaz who say, he says, they either hold like the Ramah or they hold like the Rashba, but Manashach, the Psak of the Ramah, would be okay. So I saw also the Ravadia says Rov Rishonim are Mekel, like the Rashba. He himself thinks you have to Paskin L'chumra because of the Mechaber, but you know, Ravadia would say Ashkenazim following the Ramah here wouldn't be crazy, even though most of the Ashkenazi Achronim don't accept the Ramah. So that is, but that being the case, many Achronim Lamaisa don't accept the leniency of the Ramah here. Now, the question is, though, does it really matter? In other words, will this case of Rasa Yom Rishon and doing a Hafsek Tara on Yom Rishon ever come up? Is there ever a case that we need to be worried about this situation where Moch might even be Mikar Adin? So the Shach deals with this question, and he quotes the Madane Melech. The Madane Melech says that for Ksamim you could be Mekel. In other words, usually for normal Re'iyah, you're not going to be doing a Hefsek Tara Yom Rishon anyway. Why? Well, if you're Ashkenazi, you have to wait 5 days, right? For Sfaradim, this Shaila could be relevant. She had a Re'iyah Yom Rishon, and she didn't have Tashmish for the last 3 days. Or the last 4 days, so she could do a Hefsek Tara that day. Great. So in that case, okay, Sfaradim, very easy. You do a Moch Mikra Din, and you could get started on your Shemini Kiyum. But for Ashkenazim, anyway, they'd have to wait 5 days before they could do the Hefsek Tara. They can't do the Hefsek Tara until the 5th day. So what's an Afkamina? So maybe I'll say, well, okay, it must be that she started her Shemini Kiyum, and she was Sosa the Shemini Kiyum, right? Then you don't have to wait the 5 days. The 5 days are only because of Poleta Shechvazera. Well, what if you see Kesem during the Shemini Kiyum? So then the Madane Melech says you could be Mekel. Bedikah Shachris would work. Why? Why would you be Mekel for Kesem? Right? Once you're going to say it's Sosa the Shemini Kiyum, so shouldn't you require a Moch, or at least Min HaMincha L'mala? So the Machzis HaShekel explains that's because a kesem does not show us that mayana pasuach, and therefore there's no reason to be machmir. Remember, what's the whole reason why bdika shachris doesn't work, and why we'll say you need a mochmik or a din or at least some lemincha? What's the reason? Because cheskas mayana pasuach. What's a kesem? A little, kesem. If the blood actually came from her, it was just a very small amount, right? It's not a riyah. So a kesem doesn't show us mayana pasuach. That's one explanation for the madani melech quoted by the shach. The shach accepts it. The other explanation is given by the Sidrei Tara, the end of Sifkat Yud. He says, no, it's because we're so meich on the sheet of the Rashba, the Bediga Shachris works for Kesem, which is only the Rabbanan. In other words, since she only becomes a surah, or it's only so Saras the Shem and the Kiyam, the Rabbanan. So on a the Rabbanan Shaila, you could be so meich on the Rashba. Fine, those are two explanations. Yeah.
Why do we have a
Sifkat? Oh, so this is a very interesting Shaila. We'll get to it. Rav Moshe Taka thinks you don't, but we'll get there. You need a hafsek tara because she did have some bleeding, but it's an interesting shaila. We're going to talk about that when we get to Rav Moshe in one moment. It's an excellent question. What is the purpose of hafsek tara? You're saying hafsek tara is only one cheskas mayana pasuach. Once you're going to say it's not cheskas mayana pasuach, it should be like dam chimud. Okay, excellent question. Hold that question. We're going to talk about it briefly in one moment with Rav Moshe's tshuva. That's what Rav Moshe says. And we're going to talk about it a little more either later on today or actually, I guess, next time probably in terms of understanding what the purpose of the Hasek Tara is in the first place, which we need to do when we talk about Chorin V'Stakin. Yeah?
Would the same be true that Mayana Suach, if she had a kesem on Vesa's day, during that...
Yeah, but it's a kesem that made her asura. So anyway, you'd have to wait 5 days, so it wouldn't be nafkamina again. Right? This is only nafkamina because she's asura anyway. Okay. So again, so the Shach quotes, so assuming you accept this Madani Melech, like the Shach does, so then again, what's the nafkamina? When would you ever have Rasa Yom Rishon for Ashkenazim? So the Shach answers, "V'nira li de nafkamina lecha de chazve v'rasa b'solchi me'esvira." Shitak has a new riyah during Rishav Nekim. So in that case, since lo rasa lo yom echad, so the bedika shachris won't work even b'diavet, at least according to the Mechaber. Now, this is, I'm going to give you a just an interesting thing to think about. We're not going to discuss it now. Does this show us that a hefsek tara definitively shows us that mayana sasam and any riyah during the Shiva Nikim is a riyah chadasha, not a hemsheikh? That might relate to the machlokas, Ramban and Rashba we're going to talk about next year and Tushira. But you could keep that question in mind. Or no, it's not true, especially because here she might be Anita anyway. Anyway, so that's a nafkamina, right? When's a nafkamina? When could you have a riyah, siyom rishon, that would require mochmik or adin? So that's when she actually had a riyah during her Shiva Nikim. Good. That's the psak of the Shach. The Aruch HaShulchan, by the way, disagrees with this Madanei Melech. He thinks that since Kein De'Raisa Tikkun, you would need a moch. In other words, we don't treat Ksamim any more leniently. Now, there could be some other nafkaminas. The Taras HaShlamim said another nafkamina would be for Akala, someone who isn't married yet. So, if she doesn't have to wait 5 days, because she's always been Asura, right? So she could, theoretically, she could do a Hafsik Tara and a Riyas Yom Rishon, in which case we would need Mochmik or Adin. I guess also a Nafkamina would be for Sfaradim. Fine. Now, the Badi Shulchan has an interesting point, which is that if she's so seres on the first day of the Shiva Nikim, the day after her Hafsek Tara, he thinks you could be Mako. Why? In that case, we almost certainly see it as a Hemshech of the previous Riyah. I mean, it's pretty obvious that, you know, when you go ahead and she does Hafsek Tara, and the next day she has another Riyas Dam. That she never really stopped. This is just a continuation. And therefore, in that case, we would not require Mochmik or Adin. Because it's only the Shach's Chumrah is only when we know you've stopped, and we see this new dam as a Riyah Hadasha. But in that case, we could be Mako. Now, yes?
He said that for all Riyos, only on Beit Bedikah? He says
even if she... Does he say it? We're going to talk about Riyah and Beit Bedikah. He only says it by Beit Bedikah? The Svara is Kol Shekein on a regular Riyah. If you see an Eid Bedika as a Hamshech, which is just a little tiny bit, so Kol Shekein, if you have...
That
maybe an Eid Bedika isn't? Is that where you said it? Okay. So I have to check. We should be Ma'ayin in that question. Because that could be an Afkamina. So let's talk about that question, Donnie's question, which is, what is the halacha when she's so serious, the Shivanakim, because she sees Dhamma and Bedika? What's the halacha? And this is obviously a very common shaila. Much more common. In other words, either it's going to, 99% of the time, it's either going to be a kesem, or it's going to be Dhamma and Bedika. It's not usually going to be the case of like a full-blown Riyah Hadasha. It could happen. Sometimes it happens. But more often it's going to be these two cases. So what's the din? So, l'chora, if you treat Daman and Eid Bedika as a Riyah, you know, with a Safek Argash and the like, according to everybody but Rabbi Willig, so then l'chora, you'd have to be Machmir, right? But that, I think, is only if you follow the logic of the Sidrei Tara. Remember, we asked the Shaila, why is a Kesem more lenient? So the Sidrei Tara said, oh, because Ksamim are Rabbanan. Oh, so if you think Daman and Eid Bedika is a Din D'Oraisa, so then you'd have to be Machmir for Daman and Eid Bedika. But if you hold like the Machzis HaShekel, so then maybe we could be Mekel for Daman and Eid Bedika. Why? Because this is such a tiny amount that there's no reason to assume that it's Cheskas Mayana Pasuach. And therefore, if you hold like the Machzis HaShekel, maybe you could be Mekel. So what is the halacha? So the Shevet HaLevi is medayik that you could only be Mekel for a Kesem and not an Eid Bedika. However, the Vavadia is Mekel. Why? Seks Veka. Maybe there was no Hargasha. Vimtim Tzolomer, there was Hargasha. Maybe we pass on like the Rashba that anyway, Bedika Siyom Rishon works. In other words, we already saw that not many Achronim, like the Chachmas Adam, the Chavos Das, assume that we don't treat a Bedika as a Safek Hargasha. We treat it as a Vade Hargasha when there's Dam. But Ravadia holds, like the simple reading of the Truma Sadeshin, starting Chazara, right? So it's a Safek Hargasha, so then you have a Sfek Sfek. That's why he's Mekel. Rabbi Willig is Mekel as well. Ravadia says, though, even though he won't require Moch, at the very least you'll need Samach Lebena Shmashos of the Ramah when you see Daman and Eid Bedika. Rabbi Willig is Mekel for two reasons. One is Lashitaso, because he doesn't think you have to be choshish for a Safek Hargasha for a Daman and Eid Bedika. And he thinks even if you don't hold of him, it should be mutter based off of basically the svar that we said from the Machzis HaShekel, which is that even if you do think that Daman and Eid Bedika is deraisa, that doesn't create a Cheskas Mayana Pasuach. And Rabbi Forstai says also Nota L'Hakel. He writes, it would seem to be logical to be lenient that there is no Cheskas Mayana Pasuach, or something like that. Now, here's the Igros Moshe that I mentioned before. Certainly you could be Mekel according to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is a fabulous chiddush over here. It's Chela Gimel, Simen Nunhei. And basically he says that Ras Adam on an Eid Bedika, she's basically Cheskas Mayana Sasum. She doesn't even need to have Ziktar at all. Right? So Kol Shekein, you could be Mekel if you did a Bedika Shachris. Right? What's the Raya? So his big raya is from a number of Rishonim by Dam Chimud, who hold that you don't need a hafsik tar. We're going to have a chance to learn this a little bit later. But without going into too much details, there's a story, there's a halacha that we say that we're choshesh that because of the Chimud bia of her upcoming marriage, kala is, we're choshesh that there is dam. Even if we don't see the dam, maybe there was a dam that got lost. So, there's a story in the Gemara about one of the Amoraim who didn't really know that halacha, and they told him, and then he was makbid about it, seemingly, at the end of Shivanakiyam. So, lahor, there was no hafsik tara, and, you know, Shivanakiyam, you could say, well, maybe there was one bedika at the end of the Shivanakiyam, but There was no hafsik tara. So how could that be? How could you basically have a shivanakiyam without a hafsik tara? So the answer that a number of Rishonim give is that, well, there's just very little dam for dam chimud anyway. So what? So they, what do you see? You see that when there's very little dam, that doesn't create a chezkas mayana pasuach, and therefore you don't need a hafsik tara to show that nistama mayana. And memela over here also, when all you did was see a little bit of dam on an eid bedika, so you could be mekel even without a hafsik tara. Because it's just rasa rak ma'at. Now, obviously, this wouldn't help if there was a lot of dam, but if it's just a little... So even though Rav Moshe Yand is like a little reluctant to rely on the shita, he admits, Ein lanu al zeraya brura, shelachein, lo ikalti ela kishahamariz dam eno shav el adam. It's only makel to skip the hafsik tara if it's not... It's not really red. If you remember, Moshe has this very interesting category of things that we don't really think are red, but we have to be machmir because they're notel ad mumis, but we still treat that as a chumra. And that being the case, so if it's not really red, even though you would treat it as red, you could be makel without a hafsik tara. So that, but lechora for us, even though we're machmir against this Rav Moshe, we would require hafsik tara any time we saw that she was so sir her shiv and akiyam, but lemaisa we could certainly throw it in as a sniff to be makel, and in the case of dominan eid bedika, to be makel that to rely on a hafsik tara, even though you don't have the moch mikra din. Right now, what would Rabbi Willig say about a case where you really needed a moch mikra din? In other words, it was really a re'ias yom rishon. It wasn't a kesem, it wasn't dam in an eid bedika, it wasn't on the first day. On the third day of shiv nekiyam, she had another flow. Would you require moch mikra din? Because according to Rabbi Willig, moch mikra din doesn't really exist nowadays. Right? Remember, that's what we talked about last time. Now, this shayla, the truth is extremely rare. Because anytime, first of all, having a real re'iyah in the middle of shiv nekiyam is very uncommon. And if it were to actually happen, it's extremely unlikely you'd get a hafsik tara on that very same day that you had a re'iyah, you know, real re'iyah, real flow. Usually, it'll take more than a day to get a hafsik tara. But theoretically, if you had that, the question is, could you be a mitzdarif, the sheet of the Rama, plus our, you know, fake moch to be mekel, or not? I don't know. Yeah.
You've got one case where it could happen postpartum with birth control.
Yeah, that's the only time that this happens. Correct. Postpartum with birth control. That's when.
And that's like pretty normal.
Yeah. A lot of times they're not. She's so serious because of ksamim and the like. That's really Riya Chadasha, but she could do have sick tired that day. But yeah, it happens. That's the only time I've had this question. But I've never had the question where she could do it a hafsik tara on that day.
And
so I don't know.
It's
a question that we should ask. I meant to ask Rabbi Willig before Shir today, but I forgot to. What would he say lemaisa in that case? I don't know. Would you say that? Again, the way I would put it is, you could be, you know, could you be mitzdarif our fake mochs, our sefer chinuch mochs, with the Rama's view that samach l'mincha works? Maisa the Rama's mekel, the Rashba's mekel, according to the lechem v'simla, most rishonim are mekel, and plus, you know, you'll do the moch that we do. Maybe it's worth something. Maybe it's the sefer chinuch. Would be some on that? I don't know. Okay. Sif, Gimel. Yes.
Moshe really doesn't hold you need a hafsik tara based on the suffer law. Like,
you need a hafsik tara normally. No. He's saying that if she's so sir shem and akim for daman and eid bedika, then she doesn't really need a new hafsik tara to start shem and akim the next day. Because she didn't really have mayana pasuach, but lemaisa is machmir. But if anyway it's a chumrah because it's not really red, so then he's mekel. Okay. Siv Gimel. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Biyom shepaskem leros uvodekes atzma kamur, tilbosh chalak abaduk la she'ein bo kasem. Uvalayla tasim sadinim habudukim iksamim. Mil machras taskalas pershivinakim." So, if you note, the Mechaber didn't say anything about white. He didn't say that you need to wear levanim. He just says it needs to be badukla. It has to be clean. If you look at the Gra, in terms of the Makor, even the Makor for the Mechaber, he writes that this is from the Gemara that refers to the Shivanakim as Yimei Libunech. Now, at first when I read that, I thought, oh, it sounds like the Gra learned that the Mechaber required actual white underwear, let's say, for us. But it's probably not a good diak, because Libun doesn't mean white, it means clean. Like on Shabbos, right, the Malacha of Malabain, if I take a blue garment and I launder it, even though I don't turn it white, right, that's a violation of Malabain. So Malabain means clean. It doesn't have to mean white. So the Parshas in the Mechaber, and the Gra, I don't think, contradicts that, is that it doesn't have to be white. Now you'll ask, well, then what's the point? So let's say it's beige. So Lamaisa, if she has a kesem, will she become a sura? No. So what's the purpose of this? So the answer is that we want to know if she has ksamim, not because the ksamim would make her a sura, but because we want to know what's going on. We'll elaborate upon that more in a minute. That's what seemingly would be for the Mechaber. Now, not everybody agrees to the way I read the Mechaber. If you look at the Shevet HaLevi and the Badei HaShulchan, they contend that the Mechaber would also require Lavan. Why? Because the Beis Yosef cites this halacha from the Mordechai, and the Mordechai said Lavan. Now, it's not so clear. The Mordechai writes something like this: V'tilbash chalak Lavan, shim tira od, shiyehe nikar b'chaluka, uvalayla tasim sadinim levanim b'mitasa o, nikia miksamim. So, when the Mordechai, which is the source for Lavan, is talking about sheets, and remember, in those days, the sheets were actually where you would find the kesem, right? The people didn't sleep with underwear. So he says, "Sadinim levanim b'mitasa o nekiyam eksamim." It's not clear that even the Mordechai requires lavan. It sounds like either lavan or at least a nakim eksamim. It's not clear. Some try to be medayik from the name of the simen is dine levishas halibun ubdikasan. But again, I don't know. Libun might just mean clean, like we said. It doesn't have to mean lavan. So it's not at all clear that the Mechaber would require white. Maybe white, but maybe I think the Pashtus is just that it be clean. Now, the Ramah does add the word lavan. So the Pashtus is the Ramah does think that it needs to be lavan. Even that's not so clear, because Lamaisi doesn't write it as a Yesh Omrim. He doesn't say Yesh Omrim Shetzarach Lavan or something like that. But most poskim do understand that the Ramah held that they need to be Lavan. Rabbi Willig is not convinced that even the Ramah would require Lavan. He acknowledges that that's the Minag, but he's not sure that's what the Ramah requires. Now, Derech Agav, even though the Rishonim already say Sadin, some contemporary authorities say that you don't actually need the sheets to be white anymore, for the reason that we said, that assuming she's sleeping in underwear, assume white underwear, so why would you need the sheets to be white as well? There's no way, whatever reason you're going to give, it's not going to, if she does have some dam, you'll find it on the underwear. You're not going to, it's not going to get around the underwear and land up on the sheets. Others still do it, I guess more mitzah minhag or the like, but certainly, even if you are going to do wear b'makbid on sheets, it's not such a big deal. If it's difficult, I think, for sheets, for sure there's room to be mako. Now, what is the purpose of this halacha? So if you look at the Taras HaShlamim, he says two svaros. Well, just take one step back. What did the Beis Yosef say? So again, the Beis Yosef says, "V'tilvash chalak laban shimtira od shehein nikar bechaluka." Right. So the purpose is that if she sees some dam, it will be nikar. Right. Now, let's assume for the moment we mean white. So what are we saying? We want her to become, we want it to be nikar, and memela she would become a surah. Now, why would we want her to become a surah? Right? Usually, we know that when it comes to ksamim, we don't say that. We say she should dafka wear tzibonim. Even though Chazal were misaking ksamim, they also recommended that you not become a surah al ksamim. So why would shivanikim be any different than that? So, you know, if you held something like the chavostas, that a kesem during shivanikim could potentially be a din deoraisa, right, because one of the drashos don't apply, so fine. Then I would understand why you would have to be machmir. But assuming we don't accept the chavos das, which we don't, we are makel for the leniencies of ksamim during shivanikim. So that being the case, then why would you want to do this, right? So again, what the Rishonim tell us is we want it to be nikar, but why? So if you look at the Tarsus Shalom, it gives us two svaros. We want to know what leaves, so we could know if it's red. Now again, but why? Why do you need to be mevarer? Once you think that you could be makel on tzivonim during shivanikim, which is, as I said, the way we paskin, so why do you need to know it? So maybe we want to know in the case that there's some type of a suffix. Let's say there was a suffix argasha, or something like that. It's good for us to know if it's red. It's not so pashat, mechtesi to be choshish for a suffix argasha all of a sudden. Right? There's no mekor and shas for this, other than perhaps the word yimei libun. The second svar he says is, shenarotzen letamos osa, v'lachein ein lobos tzivona. Now why would we want to be metameher? Why? Right, so again, we're suggesting two possible svaros to explain this halacha. The first svar I could think of is we just want to be mevarer what it is, which is really sounds like from the Lashon of the Mordechai. We want to know what's going on. And the question is, why do we need to know what's going on? And the second possibility is we want to, the way Rabbi Neuberger puts it, is we want to nab her. And then the question is, well, why do we want to nab her? Right? Mechatesi? Rashi's Lashon on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis on that Gemara, Yimei Libuneich, he writes, V'tzricha lios loveshes levanim levdika shema v'tira v'tistor sfirasa. Sounds like it's a bedika. I think it sounds more like the first possibility, which is the Mashmos of the Mordechai as well. We're not trying to nab her. We're not trying to nab her. We want to figure out what's going on here. If there is any dam, we want to know about it. And we want to know what color it is. And we could investigate it, and we could look into it, and we could ask her, is there a hargasha and the like? And part of the requirements of Libun is to be extra sure that there was no Riyah, right? The Safra La Shivanakim says that she should, we're more careful to make sure that these are Nakim. And the way that we ensure that is by setting up a situation where we would be able to investigate any Shiloh that came up. So what's the nafkamina between these two reasons? Is the reason that we're trying to just figure out what things are, or the reason because we want to nab her? So the most obvious nafkamina is, could you wear something that's not mekalel tuma? Let's say she is, could she wear a pad, a panty liner, right? It's white. So if our goal is to see what's going on, you'd be mekayim that din. The whole purpose is, the first theory we suggested, that the goal is to just be able to be mevayer, then wearing a panty liner should be fine. If you think that the goal is to nab her, that for some reason Chazal wanted, if she was going to be staining, they wanted her to not have nikiyim. Okay, midrabanan maybe, but still they want nikiyim to rao mamish be nikiyim, so our goal is to nab her, then it wouldn't be right to wear a pad.
So
Rabbi said it's not the Nevar. I thought Rabbi said it's just...
I just said two possibilities, and I said from the Mekoros that I found, I saw no evidence that it's the Nevar. That's what I said. Now, it's both from Rashi, the Mordechai.
The Svar that Rabbi said was that part of the Bedika is just part of the Sefer. The Sefer Lo is to have a... ensuring that she's not, mm-hmm. that wouldn't necessarily...
Yeah, I agree. I don't know any Mekoros, a single Mekor that says the goal is to Nevar. But that's, I'm just saying... I'm just saying, there are two possibilities of why you would need to wear Levanim, and the second is to Nevar, but I agree, I don't know of any Mekor that says that. The Torah Shalom didn't say that. Did he?
He said, another Nachim would be Chal Ktavua, which is clean.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. But maybe Lavan is still our preference. We'll get there in 1 second. So, another nafkamina would be, I saw that, let's say you don't have any levanim. We paskin that you should still count your shivanakim anyway. So, some poskim say you should, like, put a tissue there. At least you could be mekayim one of the two dinim. Not that you'd become a surah on the tissue, but at least you'd have that aspect of levanim. Now, I saw, right, force considers another interesting nafkamina. If you hold that light colors have the din of tzivonim, so then you could go ahead and say, well, you could wear light colored underwear because they're light enough, you'll be able to tell if it's red or not, but still she wouldn't become asura. Your force didn't seem to like that, but maybe that's true. So what's the halacha? So Rabbi Willig really thinks that probably it's mutter. He's not convinced that there's any basis of that you have to nab her. So it would be mutter to wear, let's say, panty liners. Willig thinks that anyone who is wearing panty liners for hygienic reasons or sanitary reasons or the like can feel free comfortably to do so during Shiva Nikim. Even though, Lamaisa, the result will be that she'll never be so serous based off of a kesem. He's not willing to be machriya lahakel shelo b'shas adchak to do it only to save you. Though he won't say that you can't do that either, but, and b'shas adchak, he certainly make, a lot of times there are shas adchaks. Shas adchak would be, you know, cases where it's taking her much longer than normal to become mutares, or not being mutares is causing shalom bias issues or other issues. Then for sure he thinks you could wear pads to save you. If it's not a shas adchak, he doesn't really know of any source that it's a problem, but he's not sure. He won't say you could do it l'chatchila, but anytime you're wearing a pad for sanitary reasons anyway, and many women would want to wear a pad for sanitary reasons, even if they're doing it because they're afraid they might start staining, but they're doing it for non-halachic reasons, because if they start staining, they don't want to embarrass themselves. So anytime you're wearing a pad for non-halachic reasons, there's no objection to wearing a pad, and the result would be that, practically speaking, you would then not become a surah based off of ksamim. And I saw that the Mishmer Satara says that's an Eitz Tov again for Shas Adchak, for women to wear a pad, because again he also says he doesn't know of any makoros that you have to nab yourself, but he's not willing lemaisa to be makel shelo b'shas adchak. I don't know. I have a friend. I don't know if anyone still remembers Rafi Stoll.
This morning.
Okay, so Rafi had a whole thing. I remember he gave a whole chavura years ago. He tried to argue that during Shiva Nikim we're choshish for Agishav Alavadaita. One of his rayos was from the Orchus Chaim over here, who says that Levanim are Ma'akev. So why would you think Levanim are Ma'akev? Like, she can't start a Shiva Nikim without Levanim. Must be because we're choshish for Agishav Alavadaita. And there are others. That's a mashmosa, some others. It's very similar to the Chavos Das, but not exactly. Because Chavos Das thinks you could become... you could be so serious without a hargasha. There are a lot of kashas on that. He's saying, no, it needs a hargasha, but we're chosh v'argasha levadaita. And that's why he thought the minhag is to wear levanim dafka, and dafka to do it in a way that you'd get nabbed, because We're choshesh for agreshav lava daita. But lemaisa meichatesi, where do we ever find that we're choshesh for agreshav lava daita during shavinakiyam? He's saying that that's what this minhag is telling us. The minhag is telling us that's the gather of the minhag. The reason why she should wear levanim is tafka for that purpose. I don't think we paskin that way though. Lemaisa, I think we're makel if she wore tzavonim. She doesn't have levanim. She should start her shavinakiyam even though she doesn't have them. And when she gets levanim, she'll put them on. Yeah.
Should she do anything if she's
down? Yeah. She should ask herself if she had a hargasha. Okay.
Maybe I missed something. Is there any shayla that will ever come up? Is there a willing saying we're never going to really have shaylas during...
No, because even though willing is not lamaisa if she's, you know...
Most women don't want to have me bleeding around. Just stand.
Most women will not... wear a panty liner for hygienic reasons, in which case if it's shelo b'shas hadchak, then they shouldn't, then they could still strike out on ksamim. But the irony is when you're tafka in a situation where you're choshish for ksamim, then you're more likely to wear a panty liner for hygienic reasons. So that will help you.
So why do I have to wear the bonnet?
You do. So to know if it's red. And to you want to know what's going on. You want to know what's going on. Okay, we're not quite finished with Gimel. We still have a couple more things to do. And then we're going to obviously next time talk more about a lot of the Pesach Yeshuvas here and how many bedikos during Shiva Nikim you have to do in the next day. Okay, so the Masibah, Thursday night, 7 o'clock at my house, 475 West 186th Street, apartment 1D. And I hope everyone could make it.
Yeah,